Hello and welcome to Publish the Podcast. Real talk and inspiring stories about writing and publishing books we're passionate about and make a difference in the world. This podcast is brought to you by the Authors Collaborative Writing Community, where we get in the zone and write our books together. Today, I'm with Jeff Cleckley, the author of I Walk Amongst Gods, an amazing journey into the realms of the afterlife. About his otherworld near-death experience that left him forever changed. Jeff served in the US Army 82nd Airborne Division and sustained injuries that led to long-term illness and pain, which led to his life-changing out-of-body experience in 2013. Jeff currently leads manifestation workshops, retreats, meditations, and healings, the exact work he was sent back to do. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you for being
Thank you.
here.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be able to speak this to an audience. Thank you.
Well, I am so honored myself to be here with you to hear more of your story and to hear it firsthand. I saw you speak, and I know about your story, and I've read your book, and so I know the inside, and I'm really excited for people who don't know you. They're going to
Yes.
get an amazing, a whole bunch of amazing downloads from this conversation and hearing your experience. So thank you for being here. And I guess just off the top, what inspired you to write your book? Could you take us into that
So
in your experience?
what inspired me was it was my communication with the being that's in the book named Metatron. I knew that I had a mandate to come back and teach this, and Metatron would just keep saying in my meditations, when you write the book, it'll get out. When you write the book, because I asked, I asked Metatron, how do I get this out? Metatron said the best way would be write a book. And so it was a lot of stumbling. Because I'm not an author, I mean, I am now, but I wasn't, and thanks to my publisher, they helped me write the book, the book even that was amazing how it came about. But yes, that's how it was Metatron, he gave it to me, said, this is the way that you'll put it out,
Wow. So you never felt like a writer before this? You did, or did you have a bit of a calling as a child? Did you have any?
I could say that I did. I did, some reason I, when I think back, some reason back when I was young and transitioning in the high school, my English teacher thought that I should take these advanced courses, I took them, and I had aspirations of writing a book way back then, but it never really, it never really trans aspired into anything serious. But there was that I wanted to write a book someday,
That's really fascinating that you got the calling, or not, it more than a calling, it was the sort of the order to write your book. I mean, did you feel like, okay, I'm going to do it? I wonder if that made it easier, or how, what was your experience then actually starting to write? What, were you intimidated by the task of jumping in and writing
Oh,
a whole book?
yes, that is very intimidating, very scary. Like I said, luckily I had help from the publisher that wanted to publish the book, and they helped me write it. But it was a very scary endeavor, to just go through even the thought process. I'm telling you, it took me years. Because the book come out in 2024. It took me years to even get to where it was hard. It was a very hard thing. That's all I can say. It was
Yeah,
hard for
okay.
me. And so through these years, Metatron's telling me, when you write the book, that's when it's going to come out. It's constantly telling me this, And so it had to happen, you know, it had to happen.
And that's been your experience, I'm sure, since the book has come out. Have you noticed a difference? Like, is your message out there in a bigger way? Are you getting more, response from people reaching out to you, or what has been the
Oh yeah.
change?
Yeah, since the book has been out, you know, I've given speeches. I've been invited to conferences, things like that. And more, I gained many friends on social media, Facebook and things like that. And just it helps me to help more people. It has been overwhelming, you know, the response has been overwhelming. So I have clients and people that I work with one-on-one sessions with, things like that. And it gets a little overwhelming as far as wanting to touch everyone, and I'm just one person, you know. So
So can we get into your backstory a little bit for those who don't know it? If you
yes.
can talk about this experience that you had, and because so many trans or it was a large transformation and it changed the way you kind of did everything.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
yeah, for those that don't know it, it's an incredible story. So sit back and
So yes, we can start leading up to the transformation and all of that. So
yes.
we can go back to 2012. It was December 21st, 2012. And that day I woke up to go Christmas shopping for my two children that were still at home. You know, I had a teenage daughter and my son, who I write about more in the book. And so that day, you know, I had been feeling the worst pains that I had ever felt in my back. And that day, my back totally goes out. And I believe this was the catalyst that started everything. And this is 6 months, 5 or 6 months before my actual near-death experience. My back goes out. And that was from years of jumping out of planes in the military. So now I'm allowed to get these more potent painkillers from the VA. And so the VA upped my doses of painkillers, and now I'm taking some very heavy painkillers. And leading up to that, you know, I was on these painkillers. My back was out. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get around. I was immobile. I couldn't do anything. I lost a very good job, you know, because they put me on light duty or whatever. I could barely walk, and I wanted to go back to work, but so I lost a very good job, I should just say that. And now I'm in a funk where, you know, I'm depressed because I can't work, I don't have money and things like that. I contract pneumonia while I can't, while I'm in all this pain, you know. And then going into February of 2013, I contract MRSA, and I get MRSA, and I go in the hospital for 7 days. And it seems like all of this is leading up to my death, you know. And so I contract MRSA, and I'm in the hospital for 7 days. And I remember the doctor sitting down on the sixth day. He said, you know, we used the strongest antibiotic on Earth. And if this one wouldn't have worked, you wouldn't have made it. We started out, you know, it wasn't, you weren't turning around. You know, 7 days, I remember just being in a hospital with an IV in me from morning to night, being changed out. And it was very, very, now I got a bad back. And then they had to do surgery on my leg where the MRSA was at. So now I got stitches. I got a surgery that they had to go to the bone and clean out the MRSA, and I got an 8-inch scar on my leg. Now I got a bad back, barely can walk, and plus I'm dealing with this surgery I just had. And in that time, there was an incident that I never really got into, I don't believe. And that is, I was in, laying in my bed. I was laying on my couch when just before I went into the hospital with MRSA, because I believe I was about to die at that point, and I was close to death. And I opened my eyes, and I saw this being in my room. in my living room, just perched looking at me. It was amber. You could see straight through it. But the way I woke up, I didn't move. I just opened my eyes and I could see it as soon as I opened my eyes. Well, that night I went to the hospital, and that's when they realized I had MRSA and that I should be that I needed this antibiotic very, quickly. That, it was, I couldn't believe that everybody was looking so surprised about it. But that's the MRSA story. And so anyway, after I get done with, get out of the hospital with having MRSA, I'm in a depressed state for a while. And we're in February, and as February and March roll by, it's April, and I'm deciding, I'm tired of being in the house. I want to do something. I'm moving around a little better, and as I'm getting ready, I take two of my painkillers. I was going out that night. I take two of the painkillers, and the pain is very persistent. I still have this scar on my leg, these stitches in my leg, or and I'm taking medicine for that. I mean, painkillers for that, and the back pain. And so the pain's persistent. I take two more of these painkillers, and at that time, I guess I got a little loopy and forgot that I took them, and the pain was still persistent, and I took two more. And then I find myself very nauseous, and I'm sweating profusely, and I'm hunched over the toilet, and I'm vomiting, and then I vomit as everything that I could vomit. Now I can't even hold myself on the toilet, and I fall to the floor, and I'm laying on my side, and I'm dry heaving, and I feel like a thousand knives are stabbing me in the stomach, and there was one point where I realized I'm dying. There's a point where the pain went away. The pain goes away, and you're just in this kind of euphoric state, but you start to reconcile with your death. You start to say, okay, this is it. And I was coming to reconcile with that. And then next thing you know, I'm looking at my body. I'm above my body, and I'm looking at myself, and I come to reconcile as I'm still trying to reconcile with I'm dying. Only thing I could think about is I'm gonna leave my 4-year-old son here, in this crazy world without a father. And so now I'm a little upset. I'm getting upset about it. And as I'm getting upset, I feel this tug, and I'm being pulled through this tunnel, and I'm moving at a very fast rate, but I don't feel any wind going to my face. Jumping out of planes, we move at a fast rate, and you could feel the wind blowing in your face. I didn't feel any of that. So I'm moving at a fast rate. And then I come to this place, this tunnel of light. There was light at the end of the tunnel. Yes, there was. It was, and I come out of that, and I come to this place. And the way I can describe it is a dark void, like the edge of space without stars. And and there's these beings there. There's these three beings, these beings there, and the one that's more prevalent, it's more feminine, and it begins to, at this point, it starts, I begin the life review. There's a life review, and I'm seeing my whole life in front of me. And the one prevalent being, it began to as I'm seeing my life, it gives me more, what can I say? If it's a good thing that I'm seeing in my life, it's encouraging. It's giving me encouragement. It's a very warm feeling. Oh, as I should say, I always miss a couple parts. As I'm leaving and looking back towards the Earth realm, the plane, I start losing the sense of attachment to anything. Like attachment to family members. The only thing I had attachment to by the time I got through that tunnel was my son. That was it. Everything else, it was like none of that even mattered anymore, forever. It was just interesting. So that, and when I, after I got there, when I got to that place, it was the strongest feeling of love that I've ever felt in all my existence. I always forget that part. I don't know why, because that's the reason why I started this journey, But it was the strongest feeling of love. Lately, I forget that part, but it was the strongest feeling of love I ever felt in all my life. And that was very compelling. So when this being was beside me, it was only emanating warmth and love to me. So when I would do something, when I was visualizing my life, I would see something good, and it would encourage me, continue to do those things, that was a great thing you did for this person, or this is. And then when we got to the bad parts, that's when it was not saying, pointing a finger and chat and being mean. It was just a light chastisement. But what hurt the most was the feeling that I felt for doing it, the conviction that I felt. That's where the pain was for me. It was more less, I felt conviction for hurting a person, because I could feel not only that I hurt them, but it was a spider web, or a ripple effect. It hurt their loved ones, and you could feel all of that. And so with that, it began. It would tell me things, what I needed to do next time I was in that situation. All of the while, I'm being downloaded that I'm about to be re to reincarnate back into this world, as a child. So while I'm being told that, I'm being shown that, oh, you get another chance, but you have to go back and do it all over again. And when you get in these situations back, rebirth, and you do it a different way this time. So that, coupled with me seeing, what was going on in front of me, and not being pleased with my life, I at the end of the life review, it was more or less a time where they put into my mind, what do you have to say for yourself about the life that you live, So basically, that was what it was. And so that's when this reply, where I still don't know where it came from, where my reply came from, it came from within a desperate desire to get back to my son. The reply was, look, you, or whoever's running this, and this is exactly how I said it, you, because I looked at her, the female entity. I wouldn't say it was a woman in shape, but a woman in presence. So I looked and I said, you, or whoever's running this, you sent me down there and you never showed me how to do it. Yet I stand before you and you say I did it wrong. You say that I didn't do it right. So if I go with you, fine, because now they had already put in my mind that I was going and I'm about to go and reincarnate. If I go with you, fine. Because this is the best feeling that I ever felt in all my life, the feeling of love. If I go with you, fine. That's fine. Yet, if you send me back and teach me how to do it, I'll do it right. And with that, that's when a million of these entities just popped up in the background, these light beings, and they began to impart things into my mind, into my consciousness. And so, it was as that's happening, these three beings are speaking to me, and they're telling me, this is when the deal's being made. You got to go back and teach this. Mankind is on a trajectory, on a path of destruction, and we are given these choices, but we're not given all of the choices, and the choices that we are given are leading to our destruction. So every time mankind, we come together on Earth and we make a decision about something, it's more or less we weren't given all of the choices to make. So now we got to make the lesser of two evil choices, and each one of these choices take us down a path closer to the destruction of our race. So, and that, and they were telling me about, they gave me some knowledge about what I needed to do to make my life easy back here on Earth when I got back, And so there were many things that were said in this conversation. And meanwhile, all of this other information is being put into my head. And when this information is being put into my head, I look at the one and I say, just before I can even think it or project that thought out, it said, don't try to understand it. You'll understand it when you get back. Don't try to understand. So I was trying to comprehend everything because it started, I was comprehending, and then it was too much. And so that and with that, it was like, all right, so now you're ready, you're going to go back and you're going to teach this. This is the deal that was struck. And with that, they said, concentrate on the one thing you love most in the world. And like I said, by the time I left there, it was only my son, so I put my mind on my 4-year-old son. And the next thing you know, I'm waking up on the bathroom floor, and the pain is back. But this time I'm crying, but I'm not crying for sadness. I'm crying for the tears of joy. And I mentioned it once, I just danced with death, and it was beautiful. And I'm crying these tears, and I'm thinking about everything that just happened. And it's a powerful thing. I can say, all of that stuff that was coming into my head, and I don't even speak this too much to anybody, but because of all of that stuff coming into my head, when I'm studying or when I'm doing a thing, I'll have to have three things going at once. Like if I'm watching television, if I'm reading, I don't watch television, but if I'm studying something on the internet, if I'm reading, or and I'll have something in my ear, a subliminal playing in my ear while I'm reading it, while I'm watching something. It's been like that ever since I got back, and I know it was because of I was trying so hard to concentrate on those things at the same time. And it just I got back here, and it's like it was effortless to listen to three things at once and take it in.
Indeed.
And so that helped out as well, because one of the mandates was that I needed to study the history, the real history of mankind. Now, where am I going to find that? So I began to dig deeply and earnestly into the internet, finding the truth about everything, when it comes to our money, when it comes to how our money's originated, when it comes to the lies that they've told about many things that we think. And then I was told to trust my instincts and my senses, and I became very close to nature, and this transformation happened when I came back. I began to have these clairvoyant episodes and audiovoyant episodes, and healing people, things like that would happen. I came back, and as I got even better and honed the gifts, my nephew, he was in a coma 300 miles away, and I went in to where he was, his coma, and the realm of that, which I call the second heaven now, and brought him back, and we both came back and told the same story. That's how I know this is real. When he woke up in Virginia, and he told his dad, who he talked to and what the conversation was. I had already told his dad what the conversation was before he woke up from the coma. They had given him 3 days to live. They were going to take him off of the, excuse me, I'm getting emotional. They
It's
were going to take
so
him off.
powerful. Yeah, it's
Yeah. They were going to take him off of the life support that he was on, and Saturday night, they were going to take him off Sunday. Saturday night, I go into meditation, and I astral project to where he was at. And Jesus Christ was there, and there were a lot of children there in this realm that I call where kids would, who are in comas go, and they're being comforted. I want people to know that. Excuse me.
I'm so moved, obviously, and one of the things that's so interesting, and I'm talking about it from a language point of view, is it's a challenge to talk about things that are energetic in nature and then putting words to it. And that's one of the gifts that you have, is that you're able to share and language that we understand, and then the emotion, because you are completely like your word and your energy is the same. And that's one of the things that you came out with. And
I
that is
appreciate that.
obviously a huge gift, and a huge gift for us. So again, thank you for sharing your story with us, because we feel it and we know how powerful. And I know everybody listening to this, we all take it very personally too. because we have our experiences and fears and relationships. And I wanted to ask you, in that moment of the life review, did you feel you were given the choice and you spoke in your, like, what's your response when you got that and then you gave a response? Was that a choice you were making, or were you, would you say it was a surrender? Whatever you need of me, like, what, like, looking back, do you have a sense of like what happened there?
Well, I sensed that I just let go, and it was more or less a Hail Mary, you know. It was like, all right, if I go with y'all, fine. You know, I've already, you know, I've reconciled with it. Yet, you know, if this is possible, then let this happen. It was more of a Hail Mary, because that the reason why I'm so deep into this, and why I do that is because of the love that I felt there, and I wanted to feel that again. And so that's why I meditate so deeply, and that's what I found allows me to go back and to do these things, you know, to go into meditation and to heal people, and to astral project somewhere, and to help mankind, I should say. There are many powers that I was given that I don't disclose publicly, you know, and just say I help mankind.
Sure. And like coming back is accepting a lot of pain, right? Like that,
Oh,
and
yeah.
responsibility and pain. And like, I
Yeah.
think,
Oh.
and so that's, so how do you
Yeah.
deal with that? Like, what is your routine, or describe your process to take care of yourself and to stay connected to that? Is that a challenge to stay connected down here in the earth realm?
Well, I could say a challenge is it the fact that I stood before what we'll call God or whatever, and knowing that I gotta go back. Nobody's gonna be exempt from releasing from this body. Knowing that I gotta stand back is more personified to me. You know, that I got to do that. We all know we have to pass this life. At some point, we come to the understanding we got to pass from this life. But it's so personified to me that every day I wake up knowing that that's what's going to happen, and that my time here is short, and that I must fulfill my mission.
Wow. How, people listening, do you have any like request or message of like, hey, like the best thing would be to do this, or how we can help as humanity? Because obviously we're, anybody kind of awake and paying attention, which is going to know that there's a lot going on, and it's a time to be deliberate and to take action. And like, what is the most like effective action, would you say, that we can take to support this mission that, you know, we get, like, that you're talking about? Like, I think we're all saying, yeah, I want to support that.
So the most effective action that every human being can do is look within themselves, you know, and look at the stark truth of who you are. And find out where you came from. What does this all mean? And once you start to ask those questions, it opens all of this up, you know. When you look within, so most of us look without to the world to find what we want. It's all within. When I need my most power, the most of my power, when I need strength, I don't go without, you know. I go within, because that's where the power's at, you know. And it's calling on the power when you don't even see it exist. It's not materialized. There's a scripture that says, "Let the weak say that I am strong," because he's given us a power that, with our mouths, we can rearrange our situation.
Yeah. And so that's like the quickest healing we can do is go within and mind our words and be responsible for our own conscious manifestations, would you say?
Yes, speak Yes, go within, speak what you want to the universe, and it will manifest. What happens to most of us is that we're hit with negative and we're asking the wrong way, you know? I don't want my mortgage my mortgage rate to go up. I don't want my interest rate. No, don't ask for that. Ask for what you truly want. What do you truly want? Oh, I want a low mortgage rate. You know, I want things like that. Or you can ask, I want to live free and clear with no mortgage. I've asked that, and I'm living that, you know. A lot of people aren't living that, but I wasn't like that in the beginning. You know, it wasn't like that. You know, I had to learn how to speak what I wanted into the universe, and to get it to understand the language of the universe. And that is, never ask for what you don't want. You know, that's one of the keys.
Wow. How is your routine during the day to keep that language deliberate and clean? Do you have moments where you slip, or are you so intentional now that you live in that new language all the time?
I have had moments where I wasn't on my regimen, you know. As far as slipping, I'm always, Metatron's always here. I always point here. He's always here. He's always there, and he's always keeping me. Now, there have been times when I wasn't on what I call my regimen, and that is meditating. You know, I'm since 2013, I've been woke awakened every night at 3 a.m. And I know what that means. It means that I need to meditate. I need to touch heaven. I need to touch and fulfill my day tomorrow, you know, the day coming up. So what I do is, at 3 a.m. I wake up and I visualize that day. Everybody has something they got to do tomorrow, you know. So why not go in and visualize it the way you want it to work and watch it happen? And that's what happens, you know. And then when I wake up, you know, I'll do that. I'll come back to bed. Then when I get up, I believe strongly in affirmations. So I've taken these 96 affirmations and made them my own, that I say daily, you know. And in the beginning, I was speaking them 10 times a day, 96 affirmations, 10 times a day. I'd go through it sometimes all day, you know. Sometimes when I first started, because I had to get a lot of the negative blocks out of me, you know, not a negative traumas that from the past, so I had to get all those out. So I strongly believe in affirmations, and how affirmations, I have this saying that affirmations are like you liking it to a faucet, a running faucet, and a cup of muddy water. You take the muddy water is your trauma. You take the glass and you set it under the faucet, and then you walk away. And next thing you know, you come back, the glass is clean, it's empty, and it's just full of clear water. This is what affirmations do to our subconscious mind. You know, this is scientific, yet it is, you know, this is the spiritual thing that we speak about, you know, and yet it's been scientifically proven that what you put into this is what you'll manifest into this world. So I keep my regimen where I'm putting positive things in, you know. And what I've come to learn is, it's a cliche, but I was just thinking of it. Never in excess, I should say. Never in excess, always moderation. In moderation, everything in moderation, you know. And even sometimes I'll take a break from listening to all of those affirmations, and I find that when I take a little break and I come back, it's like the trajectory just goes, it's like this in my journey, you know. So we, in moderation for everything, we need a break from things. So yeah, sometimes I would call slipped, where I had started back eating meat and eating a lot of meat, you know, because I nowadays I don't even, I look at things differently, you know. It's like the vegetarian, they would say that you're slaughtering animals, but I'd argue that when you throw that fruit that is living, that responds to you, into the blender, you're slaughtering the fruit too. And what I've come to understand is that in this realm, things must die for us to live. You know, things must die because I eat the plants and I know the plant that I know my tree out back responds to me. You know, I got it on video that I can walk up to it and it'll reach down and touch my hand. So these things I've learned in moderation. I mean that what we do in we do it in moderation, you know.
Is there anything that you would say is like the most toxic thing that we should cut out, whether it's energetic or food or, lifestyle? Is like, what would you, because you've given us so many things to like add that are so helpful. Is there anything that we should be removing?
Yes, to open up your third eye, your pineal gland, I eliminated toothpaste. I eliminated drinking the chlorinated water. These will open up your pineal gland and you'll begin to your intuition will get more keen and you'll begin to question these things. You know, I've eliminated many things. I don't drink dairy, you know, I don't drink milk, you know, a lot of things. Everything else is in moderation. I eat more fruits and vegetables than I eat meat, and more normally it's fish nowadays. But like I said, every once in a while I might have a steak, maybe once, twice a year, you know. And one of the things that I do, that one of my secrets that I tell, I've told only a few people, and that is I speak to my food. There is you see in traditions like the Jewish tradition, you have kosher. In the Muslim tradition, you have halal, and it's a way of preparing your food in a way. So what I do is I speak, I thank my food. You know, people say, man, why you look so young? And I thank my food and I thank it for what it's about to do for me. Not only do I thank creation, the creator for my food, I thank my food and I tell it that it's reached its highest journey in this life. You know, you've reached your highest journey in this life. I thank you for what you're about to do for me. Thank you for your sacrifice. And I am proud of you and the universe is proud of you. This is what I speak to my food. So, you know, and thank you. And then before I kill it, I'll tell it there's none greater than God. And I noticed the onions don't make me cry when I do
Wow.
that. I noticed the onions don't make me cry. And I used to be, the onions used to make me cry. You know, things like that. There's just the subtle things, but you know, you can get so in touch with this thing, and we're all afforded, we're all allowed to do it. That's the thing. These things I speak of, anybody can do them,
And
you
in
know.
your book, you talk about when you were a boy, you were very awake and aware and looked at life this way. Do you feel like you're coming back? Like, are you now is the same you as a young child? Would, or is it different?
That's amazing you asked that because I was just asked in Metatron, and I was like, I said, well, why did it take for me to die to fulfill my mission? Because he was telling me then, you've always had it. You've always had it. Just in my last meditation, you know, you've always had it. You just the world took it away from you. Slowly you died inside from what the world put on you, what you absorbed. So you had to die again so you could get back to that childlike state to where you just freely manifested when you was a child. And that's what happened.
And what I look at a lot is how the children are so open and so easy to create, because I believe that creativity and just expressing ourselves the way children naturally do, they don't think about it, they just start playing around, is the way we're meant to be. And using our creativity for like really good things, the way you're talking about, to be very conscious about it. What's your view on like creativity? I'm very curious.
As far as creating anything or the
Yeah,
children's
anything.
creativity.
Like, yeah, do you have any opinion on creativity? Are you artistic yourself in any way, or do you consider yourself creative?
Yes, I was Music. I made music. In the book, we speaks about how
Oh,
we
right. Yeah,
created
that's right. You have your
production company,
position.
and my music came. And thank God, I didn't get this, but my music even came across. You heard of P. Diddy and the scandal he's going through. Even back then, my music came across, and he heard my music, and I was invited to a party way back in the 90s that I didn't go
Right.
to. I
But you
never
were
went to,
there, like you were right there, and
but
that was
yeah.
like a path open to you.
I was making music, and I believe that we're all creators. We're all creating our reality as we speak right now. We
Right.
create, and the thing that I've come to understand is that we're constantly creating, be it good or bad. So if you keep the positive in your mind, you're going to create positive things. But when you dwell on the negative, this is what creates, our subconscious mind creates, or our soul, whatever you want to call it. It creates what we believe we are, what we believe we are, what we say we are, what we think we are. That's what we create. So yeah, we're all creators, and I love the human spirit of creativity, because when I love to watch, like, YouTube, where those channels where say humans are great, and to see them do magnificent feats and things like that, because we all have this power, and we just have to open it up. Some open, unleash their power in different ways, and I love to see that our creator created us to be creators,
Right.
and it is very pleased when we are creating.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Are you writing music now? Are you working on anything?
My publisher and agent, yes, we are working on some stuff.
Cool.
And so, yeah, we
We'll
are. I
wait.
haven't written anything in a long time. Last thing I wrote was about my experience,
Right.
my near-death experience, and it's just a it's like a verse about everything that I experienced and what we are, and the last line is, I am you and you are me, and we are God collectively. That's what we are.
I love having music to have that kind of language come into my head, because music is so programmed, it's so much influencing our emotions and programming us, and we sing those lines all day long. So, yeah.
So yeah, like, the songs out now, I turn them off if my kids are listening to some of them. Like this one, it's a powerful song called Anxiety. Powerful song. You don't want to be able to walk around saying that, though. You don't want
Right.
that in your head. You don't want that ringing in your head, because knowing what I know, that's creating a lot of anxiety in the world as we speak, because there are many people running around singing this song. But I don't knock them. And always, one of the things that as creators and things like that, that a saying that I developed when I first came back, and that is that they're the God of that. They let them be the creator of that world, and whatever they create, I choose to create in my world,
Right.
So.
Wow. And do you think you'll write another book, like The History of Humanity? Or I'm just like throwing that out there. I was like, oh, I want to make.
We're working on another book,
Okay, cool.
and so it's coming along. I can't speak much about it, but
That's
we are
fine.
working
No,
on
that's
another
yeah.
book.
But you're working, and yeah, so you're right into your next book project, and do you feel like an author now, or are you still like, I don't know, that's just like a side thing.
Well, I do feel like an author, and here's why.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know about what repetition and speaking things into existence, I've probably said I'm a number one best-selling author about 10,000 times, because this is how you have to do it. And a lot of times it's me and my wife toasting to it, toasting to the success of my book and number one best-selling author. And we did debut at number one in our genre when it came
Yeah.
out on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that was, but you ha and I
Congrats.
you
That's
can
great.
see the evidence of things like that. Muhammad Ali, he said he was the champion 10,000, 100,000 times before he became the champion and the greatest of all time. He had to say, he said, I had to say it, because nobody else was going to believe him unless he said it, and he said, I had to believe it first. So that's what, so basically, that's what I do. I auth, so being an author, yeah, it's I've said it so many times now, but you know, in the beginning, I was not an author. Yeah.
Wow. And what kind of like advice or words of wisdom would you give to somebody who is at that point where they're like, yeah, I'd kind of like, I'd like to write a book. I've got a story or a message I'd like to share, but I don't know where to start, or I'm not a writer. I, it's not my thing. What would you say to them?
I would say, beginning with this, every great idea comes from the divine. So, one, it's God telling you to write the book. Secondly, you do have free will to not write the book. Yet, if it was given to you from the divine, you should write the book because greater things are coming than where you're at right now when you follow the intuition and that spark of the divine that tells you, that gives you an idea for a thing. This is what I've seen, what I've
Thank
lived.
you. That is so perfect. And I agree and say
Thank you.
amen to that. Yes, thank you so
Thank you.
much. That is
Thank you.
so thank you so much. This has been a beautiful conversation.
Thank
I
you.
just
Thank
have
you.
moved, and I it's that same sort of thing that maybe you were describing where you get all these ideas and feelings and it's kind of settling and you don't necessarily have a lot of words or anything you want to like say.
Yes.
Just like, let me just take this in. And but would you tell us what you're up to now and how people can get in touch with you and yeah, what you're doing?
So right now, I am. All right, I have things coming up. You know, I've been invited back to Curacao to speak, and we were there in May and September. I'll be there speaking. Things down the pipe that my agent is showing me that the Delaware International, what is it? The International Association of Near Death Experiencers,
Oh,
the chapter in Delaware. They want me to perhaps speak there coming up soon. So these
nice.
things are happening. We're working on you know, interviews like these, and I do personal sessions. You know, if you go to the website, I don't know if you have any of
Yes.
that information, but the
Yeah,
website,
we'll have all that information. Yeah, so we can just click on the link and get to Jeff's website and to your book. It's available on
yes.
Amazon. I highly recommend grabbing his book.
Yes. And yeah, life coaching, just helping people out, and in general, that's basically the nature of what I've been doing since the beginning of this.
Well, that's lovely. And yeah, I highly recommend checking out Jeff's website because you're going to get the latest information on the events and it and you have live
Yes.
in-person events, online events,
Yes.
remote. So yeah, that's fabulous and I know a lot of people will want to attend and
Yeah.
dive deeper into that because this is where it's at. The message is so powerful and it is a calling for us to look inside and live our dream. Live our dream. Put
Yes,
that out there.
yes. Yes, follow your bliss and enjoy this life, man. And what I can say is give love to the world. The three things that I was told to that would make my life easy. You know, these three things was one, love everything, fear nothing, and know that I am God. Those were the things that I was told before I left that would make my life easier. So I pass it on to people, you know.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a blessing. Thank you.
You too.